This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at FNB Wealth and Investments, and Rowan Williams, Portfolio Manager at Nitrogen Fund Managers, have the view from the markets on another fascinating day where politics was a big driving force. Wayne, the rand and the oil price really ignited the rand hedges and commodities today.
Yes, very much so. Look, overseas equity markets were very strong overnight on the back of a possible deal to stop another US shutdown, and maybe even more importantly, some more positive noises coming out of America regarding the trade talks that President Trump is going to meet the Chinese premier, and that if necessary, he'll delay D-Day, which I think is 1 March, for imposing new sanctions if it means they can get a good deal. So there was some good news. So overseas markets were very, very strong overnight. And in fact, when our market opened, call it flat, I was actually quite surprised that it was flat, but then the weaker end pushed the BAT and Richemont. Didn't push Naspers, but it certainly pushed BAT and Richemont. And I mean, BAT has fallen massively, and it's sitting, quite frankly, at very, very cheap levels, despite all the headwinds facing the tobacco shares. But yeah, those are the shares. And Sasol, of course, it wasn't so much the announcement that the one part of the plant is now functionally operative. I mean, they told us that other parts of the plant had to be delayed. But it was really the Brent price that pushed Sasol up quite strongly. And that's also, I mean, Saudi Arabia has basically said, we will cut output by whatever is necessary to stabilize the oil price.
And that's an important point, Rowan, to bring you in on that point. We did see, and back to Wayne's mention of the U.S. recovery, well, not recovery, but strong markets overnight. We saw the U.S. gas and chemical names were the big outperformers, gaining between 2.5% and 3% on the back of that Saudi news. But increasingly, local investors are asking questions about Sasol's management team on whether higher than expected rainfalls and absenteeism are justified excuses for the delays. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so we saw the update come through from Sasol earlier, and the market was quite disappointed with the update. Yes, really, the Lake Charles project again behind schedule and again over budget. So I think the management team has shown that they are not that great at managing large projects, and I guess the market expressing its dissatisfaction. But having said that, it still is an oil producer in rand, and so if particularly the rand oil price does go up, we see the share price go up as well. So, but overall, management haven't done a great job on project management.
Yeah, well, management can't be taking any credit for what happens with the rand and the oil price, and that really is a function of why it is amongst the top three gainers on the day. One of the top movers, in fact, I think today's top mover was Curro, 9.35% up. Wayne, it's still a pretty daunting price to be paying for this growth stock, a PE of around 40, but I think the market was quite relieved to see that last year's bad performance, or should I say 2017's, seems to be a bit of a one-off, and operationally they've turned things around.
Yeah, look, they've also cut back on massive expansion simply because, school shows a loss for the first year or two, and if you're expanding hugely, you've got to absorb that loss. I actually like Curro. I mean, there is no question whatsoever that there's virtually limitless demand for private education. The only inhibiting factor is affordability. So if you can get a package out there that people can afford, you're going to fill up schools. And the other thing that the market liked about Curro was the first dividend. Normally they keep the cash because they're chewing cash. So obviously it's a change in strategy. They're not going to expand so massively. Earnings growth was good. I mean, the share price has come down from the highs, even if you take into account the Stadio unbundling. And, as I said, this is a sector where there's massive demand. You've just got to be able to get out there that people can afford. And I think, by and large, they do it. So I actually quite like the share, despite the PE. Mm. I certainly like the share more now than a while back when it was at significantly higher prices.
Yeah, it has come into, shall we say, more realistic territory. And Rowan, to Wayne's point, I was looking at some international research that shows the percentage of the total education market taken up by private education in other developing and developed economies is in the region of around 20%. We're only at about 4.5%. So massive runway for growth for the private educators here. And it's a question of which one you would want to back, be it an Advatec or a Curo. And based on these results, Curo do seem to be a very responsive management team. They've responded operationally very well to that hopefully once-off bad year that we saw 2 years ago.
Yeah, so I mean, Wayne sort of hit the nail on the head. Affordability is the big issue. So, I mean, what we have seen, for example, the Meridian brand, which actually addresses the lower end of the market, has continued to see a little bit of weakness. So even though there is a lot of demand, the affordability is a challenge. And I guess the question with Curro has always been the valuation. To me, the fact that they're paying a dividend indicates that maybe they're admitting that the growth prospects in the longer term are not as significant as they had anticipated, and hence they don't need to keep plying back the capital into CapEx. They had reduced CapEx, as Wayne pointed out. So it's a valuation issue. I mean, we know the demand is there. I think they possibly are more affordable in terms of stocks and more cheap alternatives elsewhere in the market, which investors could also consider.
And I'm going to be chatting to Brian Cantor about the rising payout ratios, that's dividends over earnings, that we've seen in the South African economy over the last two decades, and actually what that tells you about management's confidence about finding outsized return opportunities. It doesn't really say that management teams are very confident at all. They're rather returning the cash back to shareholders and saying, well, you're probably going to have a better job at finding outsized returns than we are. Wayne, I want to talk just quickly before we say goodbye about a very important macro data point that came out today. Retail sales contracting by 1.4% for December. Really not good. I mean, it's come through in the retail numbers, but with load shedding and everything else, and we saw very tepid manufacturing numbers, it does look like we could slip back into recession.
Yeah, look, I don't think we will, but clearly those retail sales numbers were not good. Now, everyone's going to say, you know, Black Friday and Cyber Monday stealing sales from the December period. And there is an element to that, obviously. But it is, even if you take that into account, it is a disappointing number. Now, the only positive you can see about disappointing numbers is that when you look at the debt situation of South African consumers, it's not very high. It's actually relatively, well, call it mid-range. So South African consumers not overgeared. We know for a fact that SA companies have huge amount of cash on the balance sheet, and hence the higher dividend payouts, etc., etc. You've just got to change sentiment a little bit, and the economy can pick up reasonably well. This is a sentiment issue. It's not as though the consumers are overgeared or companies are overgeared. It's a pure sentiment thing. Now, the labor union is going crazy. They say businesses must spend money to revive the economy. Businesses love to spend money. If they can see a profit, they're spending money. But they don't start to spend until they see demand. And that's the crux to it. And demand is dependent on sentiment.
Well, nothing like stage four load shedding to pull the plug on sentiment. Just take a walk through a mall over the last four days, and retail is sort of looking at you saying, sorry, we would love to take your money, but we can't. We're offline. Wayne, unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for. And Rowan, Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, and Rowan Williams, Portfolio Manager at Nitrogen Fund Managers, with your midweek view from the markets. Let's cross now to Pusle for the latest out there on the roads.